I'll give you an example, okay, from my own life. It's a little bit embarrassing because it's an example where I was pretty stupid. But anyway, it's a good example. I was in Nepal. This was maybe 20 years ago. No, more than that. Maybe nearly 30 years ago. It was before I became a Buddhist. And I was trekking up in the mountains of Nepal. And we were at this little place in the Solokumbu area called Lukla. And we had been trekking for many days, and we wanted to take a flight back to the capital, Kathmandu. So we're at this little village at the airport, okay? What the airport is, yeah, forget about a terminal. It is a grassy field going down here that ends in a cliff, and there's a crashed plane on this side. Okay? That's the airport at Lukla, or at least 30 years ago. So we wanted to fly, you know, out of Lukla back to the capital. And we arrived there and we're told that the flight was canceled for that day. So I don't know if it was the crashed plane, what it was, but they weren't having the flight. So we were stuck there for a night. So a Nepali villager came along, and I was with my friend. And the villager said, you know, look, you're stuck here the night, the plane's not going, you can come and stay in my house and then take the flight tomorrow. Well, my friend thought, wow, this person is so kind, you know, he knows we're stuck, he knows we don't have a place to sleep, he's offering his house to us, because there certainly aren't any hotels, you know, there's no Orchard Road in Lukla. You know, how kind this person is. And I was thinking, oh, he knows we're foreigners. He knows we're stuck. He's going to take us to our home, to his home, and then charge us five times the amount. Okay. So I was completely miserable, and my friend was very happy by what this man said. Okay. The man said the exact same words. We heard them at the same time. Yeah. Depending on the state of our mind, we interpret them differently. One person was happy, the other person was miserable. Do you see how the mind creates the experience? Another example, again from my life, but you know, I have to talk about my favorite subject, me, a little bit. just so that I don't get bored in the talk. you know how when you're a teenager, you hate when your mother tells you what to wear? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the attributes of a teenager. Yeah. Is you hate when your mother tells you what to wear. And, you know, if your father ever looked at you long enough, he'd probably tell you what to wear too. But my father was too busy reading the sports pages, sports page to care. All he said was, get your hair out of your face. So I did, and he didn't like it even then. My poor family, you know, they got me for a daughter. You know, when I was 16, if my mother told me what to wear, I would just, you know, it's like, you know, she's bossing me around, she's controlling my life, you know, I have no independence, this isn't right, it's not fair, you know, I can't stand it, who does she think she is, who does she think I am, you know, and of course, you know, the whole thing, you know, there's a whole script that you write, you know. I think all the teenagers have it memorized by heart, you know. We all recited it when we were 16, okay, so I was really into that. And then some years later, I don't know how many years later, I was visiting my family, and I must have been in my 20s or 30s or something like that. Anyway, my family was having a party that night. They were having, it was New Year's or something like that, so they were having all their friends over. So that morning at breakfast, my sister and sister-in-law and I are having, you know, breakfast with my folks, and my mother says, oh, well, why don't you wear such and such? And I said, okay. And after breakfast, my sister and my sister-in-law came up to me and they said, wow, you know, we can't believe that you took that. You know, you're how old? And she's telling you what to wear? we can't believe she said that, and we can't believe that you didn't, you know, get angry at her back. And I realized at that time, you know, it was the same situation as when I was 16, but what had changed was how I looked at the situation, how I interpreted it. Because when I was 16, I interpreted it as, this person is controlling my life, and that's not right. By the time I was an adult, I had confidence that I could manage my own life. And so I didn't feel defensive about my mother telling me what to wear, because I knew I was an adult and I knew I was competent, and I thought, this is something nice to do that'll make her happy, and it doesn't really matter to me. Okay? So again, same situation, but depending upon how my mind looked at it at two different times in my life, I either felt happy or I felt totally angry and miserable. The external situation was exactly the same. So the only difference was in my mind, how I described the situation to myself. So what Buddhism does, and in the Buddhist teachings, there are contained so many ways for us to, first of all, become aware of what we're thinking, what our paradigm is, how we're framing the situation. And then after we've become aware, how to transform how we look at the situation so that our mind can remain peaceful and happy. Yeah. Because if we can change our mind, then there's the possibility of being happy no matter where we are and what's going on. If we don't change our mind, then no matter where we are and what's going on, we're very vulnerable to being miserable. Because I think we've all been in extraordinarily beautiful places and been totally miserable. Has that ever happened to you? You finally go to, you know, the vacation spot that you've been dreaming about. Yeah. And you finally get there and you're completely miserable and unhappy, even though the place around you is beautiful. And other times, you can go to a place that isn't so beautiful, but you're happy, you're content. So it doesn't depend on outside, it depends on what we're thinking, what's going on in our mind. So what practice is about is about first becoming aware of what's going on in our mind, and second of all, transforming it so that we create the cause of happiness. And just to give you another example, a simple way to do this, again from my life. You know, you think you're going to get my whole life story tonight, huh? I'm going to make you come back tomorrow night, too. So tomorrow night you'll hear about all the fights that I had with people, because I'm talking about anger. Okay. Want to hear about that? Yeah, how all those nasty, mean, horrible people did all these bad things to poor, innocent me. I mean, but tonight I'm not talking about that, so. Anyway, what example was I going to give you? I just forgot. Oh yes, about changing your attitude. I travel quite a bit, and so I used to get a little bit irritated with airplane delays, and then I soon learned that it was totally useless. And it seems like a lot of people are still getting irritated at airplane delays, because I don't know about here, but in the States, they're now talking about air rage. Yeah, they used to talk about car rage, and you know, all these people get so angry when they drive. You know, I'm sure it's none of you people, it's all the other people that get angry at you when you drive. Okay, but you know. So there's the same thing with airports, you know, and all these, you know, the people who work at airports are getting a little bit nervous because, you know, the customers come up and they yell and scream because the flight's canceled or because it's delayed or, you know, what happens. So I was making a journey from Seattle to Israel, because I've been going to Israel to teach. And the flight was delayed out of Seattle, and we got to Washington, and we missed the connecting flight, and so they put us on another flight That was also delayed, and the, you know, I won't tell you what airlines. But the people at the airlines, they were supposed to help us, and they didn't, and blah, blah, blah. And I just said to myself, okay, you know, here it is. You know, somebody said, adventure is an inconvenience rightly seen. Yeah, so I just took that attitude, yeah. Okay, here's an adventure. It might be a little bit boring while I'm sitting in airports for a while, but, you know, there's nothing to do. And so some of the fellow passengers were getting a little bit irate about the whole thing. And there was a lot going on. And then finally, when we got on our flight, one woman, you know, who had gone through this whole ordeal with me, came up and said, you know, you've been smiling and so pleasant through all of this, and it really helped me not get so bummed out by what happened. And it really surprised me, because I never thought that, you know, what I was doing was influencing somebody else. And I never really thought about what I was doing so much. I just knew it was useless to get aggravated over, you know, what was happening with the flights. But again, it's like it's an example to show the difference of how either you can be happy and calm during something that's inconvenient, or you can get yourself so angry and yell and scream and make everybody else around you miserable. And you still don't get the flight off the ground any quicker. You know, if anger might make the flight be on time, okay, but it doesn't. So lots of things like this, if we can just stop a little bit and see what's going on and see how our own mind can create suffering for ourselves and then change what we're thinking about. Hmm?